Okay, nun. One second, let's get the other machine working.
It's up to upload this.
So how have you been? Otherwise, how have you been?
Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
It was good. We didn't see you for so many weeks. It was good.
But it's been a month.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, you know, I was in Atlanta last week at last Shabbos.
This is loading up.
Loading? Okay, Nun Hei Amir Aleph. Six times in the under, from the under the page. This is a very interesting Gemara, by the way. It's a little not complicated, but it's interesting. Okay, Ksubis Daf Nun Hei Amid Aleph, which is in the Shatnasin Gemara, 55A3. Okay, that's the, we didn't learn for a number of weeks, so let's go back a little bit. This is a very interesting Gemara, though. We know that there's a concept of a ksuba, okay? Now, there's two stages in marriage. There's what's called kedushin, edison. That means the guy gives the girl a ring, says, "Areat mekodesh shasli b'tabazu, you are betrothed, but consecrated to me with this ring, according to the laws of Moshe in Israel." Yeah. And in the time of the Gemara, a virgin girl had 12 months to get ready herself to get married. So in that time, she was not allowed to live with anybody else. She couldn't live with her husband because she wasn't married to him yet. Nowadays, we do it both together under the chuppah. We do part one, which is called kedushin. He gives her the ring. The sheva brachas after the ksuba reading is the wedding. That's the yichud, the chuppah, that they're allowed to get and live with each other. And the reason why we read the ksuba is to make a break simply between the first part A and part B. Okay, but years ago, part A and part B were done 12 months apart. Now, once a woman is given the ring or money, whatever it is, and he says that mekodeshesli, she's not allowed to commit adultery. If she does, she gets stoned or with the stone, basically. We learned before in the Gemara. But she can't live with the husband yet. Okay? Now, they used to write the ksuba, which is a financial obligation for the man to the woman, that he has to take care of her, share it, support her, heal her, feed her, and if he dies, she gets X amount of money for the ksuba. So now the question is like this. We learned in the Mishnah, it says like this, that if a woman became widowed or divorced, whether it's from the kedushin, from part A, or from the marriage, which is part B, she collects the ksuba. Everything of the ksuba. Okay, even though they didn't actually get married yet, they're not living together yet, but nevertheless, the ksuba starts from even the nisuin. Now, Belazar ben Azaya says, no. From the wedding, goiva is hakel, she gets everything. Okay, from the edison, she only gets the essential part of the ksuba. 200 if she's virgin, 100 if she's not a virgin, but all the other additional benefits of the ksuba she doesn't get. Okay? The first opinion, the chachamim say, whether it's from the marriage or from the kedushin, she gets every part of the ksuba, meaning that when he dies, he has to support her kids, and he has to support her. Then if she gets captive, he has to ransom her out and heal her and all that. Okay? So the first opinion says, whether it's from the kedushin or from the wedding, she collects the whole ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya says no. From the wedding, she gets everything. From the kedushin, she'll only get the major money part, 200 zuz for a virgin, 100 zuz for a non-virgin, and that's it. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Itmar, we learned. So let me explain one more very important thing for the whole Gemara coming up. What's the argument? What's the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya? Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya says, when a guy writes a ksuba, what is his intent? Because he wants to marry her. Right? If he's not going to marry her, if something's going to happen that they're not going to get married, why in the world should he write a ksuba? The purpose of a ksuba is a guy shouldn't just go divorce his wife. So if there's obligations in the ksuba, so basically, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi says, we assume what the person's intent was. When a person writes a ksuba, his intent is to marry her. If he knows he's not marrying her, he's not going to write a ksuba. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi says, if she was divorced or widowed before the marriage, then she only gets the fundamental ksuba that the Chacham said she has to get. But all the other benefits, she's not going to get. Okay, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi is. And Chacham say, no, once the rabbi is instituted ksuba, it doesn't matter, marriage, she gets everything. Okay, that's what the... So the Gemara says like this. Itmar, we learned, Rav and Rav Nosson. There's an argument between Rav and Rav Nosson. Chadom, one of them says, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi, that she does not collect the entire ksuba from the kedushin, only from the marriage. The chadam and one of the two, Rav and Rav Nosson, say, "Ein halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi." The halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi. Okay, that's what the Gemara says.
What part of the page?
All the way at the bottom of the page. Right now we're up to four lines from the end of the page. Okay, so in other words, like this, we know Rav and Rav Nosson argue if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi or not, right? So we don't know which one said what. So Gemara says to Sam, I'll show you the Rav Nosson who the Amar halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi. I'll show you that Rav Nosson is the one that says the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi. Why? Because I'll show you in different places that Rav Nosson is of the opinion. We go by the assumption of the person. He says like this. Because the Shamil and Rav Nosson, because we heard already in different opinions, the Azul Basit Umdina, we go by what the person's unspoken intent is. And what is basically thought is. The Amir Rav Nosson, because Rav Nosson said, Halacha K'Rab Shimon ben Shizuri. The Halacha is, like Reb Shimon Shizuri, but Mesukin by somebody who's dangerously ill. Okay, let me just tell the story over here. The Gemara doesn't elaborate what it is, but we need to understand what the case is. Normally, if a guy says, a guy says to his, to two witnesses, two people, write a get for my wife. Okay? He didn't say write and give. To get to my wife. He says, write to get to my wife. Write a get for my wife. So the din is, you can only write the get, you can't give the get. Because he didn't say give it. He said write it. Meaning maybe he wants to have it ready. That when he's in the mood, he'll throw it at her and divorce her. Okay? But he can't give it. But the Mishnah says like this. What happens if a guy's leaving an overseas trip or a caravan going through the desert? So he's very nervous about the trip. And he says to two people, write a get for my wife. So then, even though he didn't say, give the get to my wife, he just said, wrote it. The din is, the witnesses can write and give the get, because the assumption is, he wanted to write the get, and to give her the get. Even though he didn't say so, but we can assume that he wanted to divorce his wife. Why? Because, like we learned many times, the communications in the olden days were not good. Remember we discussed, when somebody went to battle in David HaMelech's army, they wrote a get to the wife. Why? In case he got captured, MIA, they're missing in action or whatever. He didn't come home. They didn't want the woman to remain an aguna that she can never marry, because we don't know. There's no proof that he died. Right? So David HaMelech instituted a very simple thing. Before you go to war, in his soldiers, all the soldiers wrote a get to his wife. Whether it's conditional get, not get, machlekes rashi tesis. But the bottom line is, they wrote a get. The guy came back, he remarried his wife. Or if there was a condition, he just threw out the get. If he didn't come back, at least the wife was divorced. She wouldn't be stuck. A lot of times when a guy goes on a dangerous journey, years ago, it wasn't like today, overseas, through caravans and deserts where there were animals and robbers and, you know. So many guys didn't want their wives to be stuck. So they were ready to get to the wife. If they didn't come back, she would be at least be allowed to marry somebody else. So therefore, the Gemara says, the din over there says, that on a regular healthy guy just says, write a get for my wife. They're only allowed to write it. They're not allowed to give it. Because he didn't say give it. If he said write and give, it's one thing. But he didn't say give it. But under certain situations, we assume that his intent was, when he says write a get, he was all nervous about the trip. He really meant to say write and give. But he didn't. But that's what he meant. That's what we say. Okay. Now, the Shimon Meshazuri, that everybody agrees with.
That one?
Huh?
That first one you said, everybody agree with that?
Yeah. Now, what happens though, if somebody is dangerously ill, and he says, write a get for my wife? So the question is, does he mean also to give it, or doesn't he mean to give it? So over there, Rav Shimon Shazuri means, if a guy's at the brink of death, and he says write the get, he means write it and give it. The Chachamim say that, Chachamim say it doesn't extend that far by a dangerous guy, but it extends by the guy going on a trip. Okay, that's what the din is. What do you see from there? That Rav Shimon Meshazuri maintains we go by his intent, even if he didn't say it. But even though he didn't say it, he didn't say give the get. But we assume if he's going on a dangerous trip, or the guy's dangerously ill and he's about to die, and he wants to give a get, we want that he should give the get. That's what he wanted. By the way, why would a guy who's dying want to give a get? Why? It's a very simple reason. If he has no kids, the woman has to do Yibum or Chalitza. Right? If a guy dies without kids, the sister-in-law has to either marry him or do the shoe story, the Chalitza. Who knows where? Guy's overseas, he doesn't even know where he is. Then again, the woman wouldn't be able to remarry forever. So by divorcing her right before he dies, she's a divorced woman. Divorced woman doesn't have to do Yibum or Chalitza.
He's helping her.
He's helping, yeah. Because if he doesn't give her a get, then she becomes a widow that died without children, so his brother has to marry her or do Chalitza to not marry her. But that's a hassle.
She doesn't get an inheritance either.
Huh?
She doesn't get any
wife never inherits halachically anyway.
Because there are no kids.
She still doesn't inherit halachically. Not what they do nowadays. They say halachically, a woman never inherits the husband.
But it's not the same story. The one that is traveling and is a sakana, maybe why? Not going to come back. The person is dying, for sure is dying. But that one, maybe he meant, you know what, hold on the gate. If I don't come back, give it to me.
No, you can't do that. No.
Doesn't work?
That doesn't work. The reason why that doesn't work, dead people can divorce. Correct? Yeah? Okay. So now, let's say the guy left January 1st on a trip. And he says to the Edom, write a get. Okay? So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, that this everybody says, that he definitely means to write and give. Right? What happens if he's dangerously ill? So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, even then, he meant to write it and give it. He wants to divorce. You can't say by the first case that he meant just to write to get, not give it. And if he doesn't come back, give her the get. Why? Let's say he left January, yeah? In September, he still wasn't back. Right? You still can't give her the get. Why? Because maybe he died in June. Maybe he died in March. Right? Are we correct? If he died in March, how can you give her a get in September? You're the agent of the husband. The husband's dead. Dead people can't give a get. Right? Dead people can't give a get. You're only acting as the agent of the husband. But if the husband's dead, then the agent can't give a get after he dies. And get lachremisa. There's no get after death.
There's no conditional get, yeah?
No. Only if the get should be retroactively from now.
So I just say, David HaMelech Arbi did it?
So Rashi, it's arguing Rashi and Taisa. It was a definite get or a get on a condition. No, because if it's a conditional get, let's say a guy gives a get. Let's say a guy's going on a journey, yeah? In January. And he gives a get to his wife. He gives it to her. And he says, if I don't come back in September, if you don't come back by September, the get is valid from now.
From now, from before?
No, from now, when he's still alive, when he's about to leave.
Oh, from, I mean, before he goes. Yeah.
Because then the get is retroactively based on the condition, it's retroactively from today.
I meant the same thing by the one that went traveling to do this.
Yeah, but
maybe he meant like that?
But no, they didn't. They not speaking that case. That case would be good, but that's not the case they're talking about. The guy said, write a get to my wife. So normally, if you don't say give it, you can't give it. Because he didn't tell you to write, give it. Right? He told you to write it. But the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Shazuri say, but if it's, we can assume that his intent is to give it, even though he only said write it, we give it also.
Are we allowed to assume what is in the people's machshava?
That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, by the way. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the guy married her, gave her the ksuba in order to marry her. And therefore, if he's not marrying her because he dies or divorces her, he's not interested in doing the ksuba. That means a chomer going into the intent of the person.
That's something strong.
Correct. So therefore, because Rav Nosson says that halacha of Rav Shimon ben Shazuri, right, that says that we go by the intent of the person. So logically, Rav Nosson is the one that says that halacha of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because they're both saying the same thing. Or another case, obetrumas ma'ase shel demai. This is another interesting case. Okay. There's different tie things, right? You have truma, you have meiser, mina meiser, meaning like this. The guy gets a field. So let's say, for argument's sake, he produces 100 bushels. Yeah? Let's say there's 100 bushels that he gets in the field. So you have to give truma to the kohen. Okay, biblically, there's no amount of truma. One kernel, the Gemara says, frees for truma the whole silo. Okay? The Chacham came along, he gave an amount. If you're a nice guy, you give 1 out of 40. If you're a mean guy, miser, you give 1 out of 60. An average guy gives 1 out of 50. Okay? Now, what's important about separating truma? Not only that the kohen gets what he gets, but now you're allowed to eat the grain. Because without separating the tithes, it's tevel. You're not allowed to eat the grains. Correct? Okay. So let's speak about some basic givings that you tithe. So the din is like this. The guy has 100 bushels. You give 1 out of 50. Okay? That means he gives 2 bushels truma to the kohen. He's left with 98. Correct? Now you give meiser to the levi. 10% to the levi. But you don't give the din is, you don't give 10% from the 100, because you only left with 98. So you give 10% from the 98. Yeah? So if you know your math, it's 9.8 bushels you give to the levy. Correct? Now, from that, the levy has to give 10% to the kohen. Kohen, reap it in, man. Okay? Levium were the paupers and the kohen were the wealthy guy. So you have to give like this. Truma is 2%. Okay? Meiser is 10% of what's left. And then, besides the other things you have to give, the Levium have to give 10% of what they do to the Kohen. What they get to the Kohen. So they have to give 10% of 9.8 bushels. Okay? Now, in the days of Rabbi Yechon and Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says, they sent out messengers throughout the Eretz Yisrael, and they saw that Truma, everybody kept. Because Truma was minimal. People didn't want to, you know, he gives 10% of Levi, it's a lot of you. They gave a guy to give 10% of his money to Tzedakah, you're going to fight the walls, right? So people didn't give it. But it was a doubt. It was a suffix. Did they give? Some did, some didn't. So, Yechon and Kohen Gadol instituted what's called demai. Demai means grain of an Am HaAretz. Am HaAretz means non-religious so much, an illiterate, not person who's very religious. So Rabbi Yechon ruled then, not Rabbi Yechon, Yechon and Kohen Gadol ruled that you're not allowed to eat grain in an house of an Am HaAretz unless if you tithe it. Because they don't tithe it. So you have to do the tithing. Okay? Now, what happened over here is like this. The Levi separates 10%. Truma's mice is given, okay, give only to a Kohen. Now, what happens if the Am HaAretz become lax in the separation? Okay. Now, what happened was this. They continued separating Truma, they didn't do, and therefore they made a demai. What's demai? Why is it called demai? Demai is two words. Da, mai. This, what is it? I mean, we don't know. Okay, now. One separate tithe and demai is required by the halacha. However, Trumas Meiser, now this 10% that he gave to the Kohen from the 9.8 bushels, separated from demai, fell into the remaining produce, okay, which the separation of tithes rendered permissible chulin. Meaning like this. It's very simple. It's very simple. What? Hey, Haknichin Shainik. You want to go home? Go home. Tell your father to stay. You go home. Past your bedtime. Go. Okay, now, when you separated 10%, and then you have to separate 10% from that to the Kohen, that becomes like truma. Only a Kohen could eat it. Only a Kohen could eat it. Got it? Now, if this mixture falls into other mixtures of regular food, only a Kohen could eat that food. Because the truma aspect is only allowed for a Kohen. We got mixed up in other foods, and it's not bottled enough in 100, not 6 over years, 100 to become nullified. So because it doesn't become nullified, so who can eat the whole mixture? Only a Kohen. That means if I want to sell the mixture, if I'm a non-Kohen, right? And I want to sell this mixture that I have of grain that truma fell into, even a little bit of truma, I can't get a good price for it. Because who can buy it? Only a Kohen. Supply and demand. So you're going to end up losing a lot of money. Yep. So now the question is like this. Here we're talking about it fell into a mixture of demai. Okay? Now, we may ask Am HaAretz, did he separate or not? And if he says he separated, we believe him. Normally, you don't believe in Am HaAretz. If you ask Am HaAretz, did you separate? Did you tithe? And he says yes, you don't believe him except Shabbos. Shabbos, the Gemara says, a person doesn't lie. But during the week, but in this case, because the whole concept of demai is rabbinic, it's a rabbinic doubt, and there's going to be a big loss of money. So then, the person says, you can trust the Am HaAretz and believe him that he separated it. Okay? Therefore, it's mixed with chulin, and therefore, it cannot be separated twice, and you could eat it. Okay, now, therefore, what does this have to do with us? That even on the weekdays, the Shimon Shazuri says you can rely on him. Okay, this is not so relevant to our Gemara, though. That's not the din that Reb Shimon Shabazuri says. What do we see from the first case of Reb Shimon Shabazuri with the get? That because we assume the husband would want to give it to the wife, even though he only said write it, we give it to them. Okay? So the Gemara says, from here you see, that which opinion says, that Loch is like Reb Elazar ben Azayah, that we go by an assumption of what the person meant, it must have been Rabbi Nassen. Right? One of them says, Rav and Rav Nassen. One of them says, Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah, we'd go by assumption. The other one says, we don't go by Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah because we don't go by assumption. Because we find that Rav Nassen was the one that said we go by assumption. So therefore, he's probably the one that says, Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah. Okay? So the Gemara says, V'rav lay osu basar umdina. Does Rav not go according to intent? I will show you that even Rav goes by intent. Why? For itmar, it says like this. Maton is shchiv meira shekosid bakinyin. This is an interesting, there are a lot of interesting concepts over here. Okay. Now, if I say, a healthy person says, I'm giving you a present. Unless if you acquire it, it's not yours. Right? I can change my mind. If I say, yo, I'm going to give you this Gemara. And I don't give it to you. You don't pick it up. You don't acquire it. It's nothing. A guy in the deathbed. The rabbis were lenient. Because we don't want him to die nervous and all that. So if a guy on his deathbed says, I want this thing given to this person, even though the person didn't acquire it, he acquires it. Okay, if the guy dies, he gets it. Okay, now. So Shchiv Meira means a guy that's deathly ill, doesn't need to make a kinyan. A healthy person needs to make a kinyan. Correct? Got it? Now. What happens if a dying person says, when he says about his gift, he says, I want you to make an akinyan. So it's like weird. Shchiv Meira doesn't need a kinyan. A healthy person doesn't need a kinyan to acquire it. The Shchiv Meira doesn't, but the Shchiv Meira, that's what he says. Matan Shchiv Meira shekosim b'kinyan. The gift of a sickbed guy, who says, I want you to acquire it with the acquisition. Beveirav Mishmed Rav Amad, the yeshiva of Rav, said the name of Rav, Arkavei Atrei Rikshi. The guy is riding on two steeds, meaning, from one side, he's giving it as a gift of a deathbed guy, because he's dying. But the second aspect of it, he's giving like a healthy person that doesn't need a kinyan. Okay?
So what's going on? Is it contradiction? Is it good? Is it bad?
The Gemara is going to explain what Rav and Shmuel says. No, one second. Shmuel says, Lo yadana meidim. I don't know what to do over here. Rav says, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what they mean. Rav says, we have two things over here, a healthy person's gift and a sick person's gift, which are contradictory. Sick person's gift, yeah, that's for you. Sick person's gift doesn't need a kinyan, right? But a healthy person's gift doesn't need a kinyan. But over here, he mixed the two together. Shchiv Meira is making a kinyan. Okay. So he says like this. Therefore, Bevei Rav Mishmei Rav Amir, what did the yeshiva of Rav say? He's riding on two steeds, meaning Kematna's body, it has a din of a healthy gift, and it has a din of a sickbed gift. What does it mean? Harehi Kematna's body, it's like a gift of a healthy person. Dim Amad, if he gets healthy, Eina Yochel Lachzer, you can't change your mind. Meaning like this, and there's another interesting din. A guy's dying, And he says, okay, I'm giving this Gemara as a gift to you. Yeah? And then by some miraculous thing, he doesn't die. Does the guy get it anyway or not? Then if he doesn't, why not? Because he gave it because he thought he's dying. The guy's in his deathbed, right? He says, okay, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you my house. So obviously, why is he giving it away? Because he thinks he's dying. So what happens if he gets healthy? It's not even, he didn't acquire it. Why not? Because there was never really an acquisition here. See, a healthy person, what happens if a healthy person says, you know what, I'm moving out of town, so I'm giving you my furniture. And the guy makes a kinyan, because otherwise verbal is nothing. But a healthy person, right? I say, I'm moving out of town and giving you my furniture. And you pick up the furniture. This, by the way, happened many times. And then the guy doesn't end up moving. He says, 1 minute, I want my furniture back. The thing is, he can't get it back. Hi.
Hi, Rabbi, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Sorry I'm late.
Was your sidekick?
I thought he was coming, but he had to cancel.
Okay. Anyway, so the thing is, he can't change his mind. I gave it to you already. I thought I was moving and I ended up not moving, but you acquired it. It's yours, finished. The Shemira did make an acquisition. By him saying, I'm giving it to you, you acquire it. Yeah? But why am I giving it to you? Not me. Why is somebody giving it? Because he's dying. But if he doesn't die, then obviously he's not a king. So Rav says like this, this Shemira, they gave over a gift with the Kenyan. So in one respect, it has it done like a healthy person. That if the Shemira gets healthy, the gift stays a gift. Because he made an acquisition. He made a kinyan. Well, how is it like a matna Shemira? She'imam, if the guy says, Halva'asi lepleini, my loan should be given to so-and-so, Halva'asi lepleini, the loan goes to somebody else. Okay, meaning like this. In this case, let's say it was money, okay? And the guy says, the Shechiv Meira says, I want to give money to somebody else. Okay? But he wrote with a Kenyan. So the din is that if the giver says, the loan which is owed to me, I'm giving this guy, then the halva goes, the loan goes to somebody, to him. Like a person who's dying. A guy is dying, okay, and he says, you know, somebody owes me $1,000. I want that $1,000 to go to Jack. Then it goes to Jack.
It's like a will, no?
Yeah, but, and so therefore this case would be, if he says, the debt I want, the guy's going to get it anyway. That's what Rob said. It has a din of both. It has a din of a living guy and a dying guy. Shmuel Amar, what does Shmuel say? Lo yadayna my adam, I don't know what to do. Why? Shema legamel aknei sele b'shtam. Maybe the sick person. What did the sick person do? Sick person says, I'm giving you my thing, and he made a kinyan. He acquired it. So therefore, maybe he meant, in this case, I don't want the rabbinic decree. That a dead person, a dying person just saying it gives it over. What he actually wants is that the guy should actually acquire it. The problem is, there's no document that you can't transfer property with a document after death. When we say you can't give a get after you die, I can't give you a present after I die either. So therefore, what do you see from this Gemara also? What does Rav hold? Rav holds that we go by his intent. What did Rav say? The Shemira that gives it over and he says, what are you looking for? And he wants to make a Kenyan. So Rav says, we assume that it's like a healthy person that he can't change his mind. So Rav, you see from this Gemara also that Rav is basically saying, because we go by the person's intent, meaning there's no clear instruction, but what does Rav say? We assume what the person wanted to do. Therefore, this respect is like a healthy person's gift, and this respect is like a dying person's gift. And so Rav says, you go by what the guy, what we assume his intent was. Shmuel says, we don't know what to do here, because we don't know what his intent is. Why doesn't Bezman think what his intent is? Because according to Shmuel, that's no good. But according to Rav, Rav says you go by the intent. So the Gemara's question is, you have no proof that Rav Nosson said that Lochaz Rekabalazah ben Azayah more than Rav, because Rav also holds, like just like Rav Nosson, you go by the person's intent. And therefore, by the Ksuba, we can assume that he only wanted to do it because he's going to marry her, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. So the Gemara says we have the same thing between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rav, and Rabbi Nosson are all saying the same thing, that you go by assumption. The Gemara wanted to prove that Rabbi Nosson is the one that says Allah is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because Rabbi Nosson, by the gift over there, by the Mesukin, that if he, by the get, when he says, I want to give it, he says, write the get, even though he didn't say give it, we assume he wanted to give it, because that's the assumption. So we see Rav Nosson goes by assumption, but the Gemara says Rav also goes by assumption. And if Rav goes, what's the host? Here's Chumashim, you love him. So therefore the Gemara is talking, Tapa Nunvav. Therefore the Gemara says, Tavayu Ozla Basar Umdina. Rav and Rav Nosson both say, you go by what the guy assumes. So why does one of the two say that Allah is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah? Okay, Rav Elazar ben Azariah goes by what you guy thinks. So he says like this, Man Dama Allah, the one that says Allah is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that's good. Because they go by what we assume the guy meant. Man the Omar, ain Alocha, the one that says Alocha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says like this, Hocha Nami, okay, let's go back to this a second. What was the argument Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim in our Mishnah? The Chachamim hold, even from the Kedushin part one of marriage, she gets the Ksuba, the complete Ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no. You go by the intent. He wanted to marry her, and that's why he gave her the Ksuba, and therefore, as long as he doesn't marry her, he's not giving her the Ksuba. Correct? That's what the Gemara said. But the Gemara says, the truth of the matter is, everybody says, you go by assumption. Everybody says you go by assumption. Why is the halacha not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah then? One, Rav and Rabbi, one of them says, the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That means you go like the Chachamim, that before, whether from the Kedushin on, from part A, she gets everything. Right? It's not what we assume he meant. So he said, it is what he assumed. In other words, like this. Why did the guy write it from the Kedushin? Because he wants the bride to feel close to him. There's two ways of looking at this argument. Now, Elazar ben Azariah says, we go by what he wanted. What did he want? To marry her. And therefore, if that's what he wants, go by a... The other opinion says no. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is wrong. The halacha is like the Chachamim that say that from the part A she gets everything. Why? Because we assume that's what he wanted even then. See, the question is only what do we assume he wanted? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says we assume he wanted to marry her, and that's why he gave it to Ksuba. Chachamim say no. Why did he write it to her? Not because he wanted to marry her. Because he wanted her to like him. And therefore, when he wrote it, she's going to like him.
But Kesuva is to get married, no?
No, that's what he says. She developed close feelings as a result of him writing it even from the part A from the Kedusha.
I thought you only write a ksuba when you intend to get married.
We do it today because today we do everything together. In the time of the Gemara, they did part A 12 months before part B.
Oh, I see.
In other words, everybody says we assume, we go into the mind of the person. The argument to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim is, what do we assume the guy wanted? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says what the guy really wanted was to marry her. And that's why he gave her all this money. Chachamim say no. What we assume he wanted, to give it to her from part A. Why? Because we assume that he wrote it that she should love him. And that he accomplished. I died and divorced her. That's afterwards. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I mean, the Chachamim say that's also what we wanted.
Then it does go to her, it doesn't.
Well, that's the argument of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. Yeah. But now we see what the halacha is. It's very interesting. I mean, just a bunch of names coming up. Who's the halacha like? Bottom line is, the Gemara is going to rule it in very soon. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That she doesn't get it unless if he actually marries her. The only thing she'll get is the 200 if she's virgin, 100 if she's not a virgin. But the additional ksuba doesn't get.
Even if that was his intention.
Because the rabbis say his intention was
to make her marry him. Not to actually marry him.
No, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he did it because he actually wants to marry her. And that's what we assume he wanted.
But then she doesn't get it?
Right. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah,
his intent was to marry.
Yeah. Only if he actually marries her. That's, the Gemara says like this. Yosef Rachanina kamed Rabbi Yanei. Rabbi Chanina was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Yanei, and he said, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rabbi Yanei said to him, Pukra k'roi labara. Go read your verse outside the hall. Meaning, you say, get lost. You don't know what you're talking about. The halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdim Mishum Rabbeinu, said the name of Rabbeinu, who was Rav, by the way. Halacha k'tiv Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rabbi Nachman Mishmul, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Shmuel said the halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, Rav Nachman himself says also, ain halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, Doi said in the name of Rav Nachman that he did say halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And even though Rav Nachman cursed the guy that said it, Rav Nachman said the statement, Kodaina de Doi k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whoever, Rav Nachman was very sharp, and he was the head of the court. He said, whoever rules that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, such and such things should happen to him. He cursed him. And nevertheless, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Gemara rules, halacha lemaisa k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Why is that?
Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah logically is correct.
But all these other big rabbis don't go.
Most of them ruled halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Shmuel, Rav Chanina, Rav Nachman, because the Chachamim say, in other words like this, the Chachamim said you have to give a ksuba from Kedushin on, but not the additional stuff. And the assumption is the additional stuff, the guy only is agreeing to give if he marries her. And if he doesn't marry, he's not willing to agree what he doesn't have to agree on. Chachamim said he gets it.
So why did Rabbi Chanina get thrown?
Because Rabbi Yanei maintained that halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so he told him, get lost. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, now starts in a continuation of this Gemara, but a very interesting question. Boy, Rabban said, what happened? Okay, what do we say? Everybody agrees if they got married,
she gets it.
She gets it, right? Everything. What happened is they got married, but they didn't consummate the marriage yet.
No.
They went to the chuppah, but they weren't together yet.
They have to consummate.
Well, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's going to ask the question now. Boy Rabin, nichnasa l'chupa v'loy nivala. They had a chupa, so they got married, but they didn't actually be together yet. Do we say chibas chupa kaina? When Abelazar ben Azariah said that until she gets married, she doesn't get everything. But when she gets married, she gets it all. Did he mean marriage, the ceremony, or did he mean consummating the marriage? Do you say chibas chupakaina? Is it the excitement and the love of getting married? Or chibas biakaina? Or is it the excitement about being together, consummating the marriage?
But you can't go by his thinking, because what is the definition of the getting married? Either it's this or that. You cannot say what he's thinking. Either he means that or I mean that. Nothing to do with him. What is that?
But is
doesn't
the marriage,
make sense, the question.
The question is...
the marriage solidified at the...
Right, what is it, the chuppah? What did she want? The chuppah, what did he mean? Chuppah or actually being together?
How much time do you have?
There's a very interesting shaila. A lot of people aren't aware of this. There's a whole issue in halacha today.
Yeah. Down?
Boy, no. Sheva brachas. Okay, boy marries girl.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a girl who's a virgin, just for the argument's sake, there's 7 day sheva brachas.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or if the guy was never... Well, if either one of them was never married, they're Sheva Brachas for 7 days. What happens if they were both married already? Then it's only 3 day Sheva Brachas.
Really?
No, Sheva, I'm sorry. Sheva Brachas is only the one day of the wedding, but there's 3 days of celebration. There's only Sheva Brachas one day. There's celebration for 3 days, right? Now. So it says, why does a girl who's never married before have Sheva Brachas 7 days? Because there's a bigger simcha. The bigger simcha by first time wedding, then a second time marriage. Right?
So it's just 7 days before they can consummate?
No. They consummate right away, but I'm saying the celebration for 7 days.
But the chuppah can be followed by the consummation.
Yeah. Then
so
there are seven.
How much time do you have between the chuppah and the consummation?
No, when they go home at night, whatever. No, whenever they go home at night, whatever.
Before the party? No. After the party. Okay, so you don't have much time between...
No, but the question is like this.
You can take pictures.
What happens if the girl is living with the boy, so she's not a virgin?
Before the wedding.
Before the wedding. And now, but they never got married. So do they have Sheva Brachas or not? 7 days.
They never got married.
Because if you say Sheva Brachas is because they were never together... The excitement of being gravitating for the first time. So then that's the reason Sheva Brachas, but these people were together already.
So you don't do it?
But if you say it's because of the chuppah, the wedding ceremony, that they never had. You understand? There's a big... Some say, a lot of people aren't aware of this. It's a big machlekes in Paskim. The pearl, the miniga olam... That if they live together but they were never married, you keep it 7 days. But Naloch is not so simple.
What is 7 days? Sorry.
7 days that they can make Sheva Brachas, they're partying with the...
Yeah, but that happens if you... But if you are like 22 and you never lived with anybody before, you're talking about older people, in other words.
I'm not talking about 5-year-olds.
You're talking about BTs.
I'm not talking about 5-year-olds.
What are you talking about?
6-year-olds.
All right, well, anyway, you're
dealing with people who, whatever, but... I'm saying if a guy lived with the girl, so the pearl, they had chibas bia, they had the enjoyment of being together, but they didn't have the chuppah, so do you have Sheva Brachas or not? The thing is, that's what he's saying over here, it's the same question, by the way, over here. They went into the chuppah, okay? Meaning like this, what's the case over here? The case over here is they got married, and before they were together, he either died or divorced her. What does she get in the ksuba?
Is it before they got married?
No, they had the chuppah, they got married. And before they were able to consummate the marriage, he either divorced her or he died.
How's that happen?
So within a couple of hours? Or?
Yeah, whatever. Or they didn't do it. It could be a few days it didn't happen. Whatever.
Probably shouldn't have gotten married.
Well, probably, yeah.
So what is the question?
I mean, ideally, you've been waiting your whole life for that moment, no?
Nazra, Zaloch Zikra Beloza Ben Azariah, that when she gets married, she gets the whole ksuba.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara's question, does that mean marriage, or does it mean bia? Actually being together. What's the case? The guy, they nichnas l'chuppah, they entered in a chuppah, right? They got married, but they weren't together yet. And between that time, either he divorced her, or he died. Dying, by the way, could happen.
Right. How can you divorce her as soon as they get to the, how's that happen so fast? He divorced her. But you're walking down the aisle to the room, right? Also, he says, I want a divorce, and that's it?
Yeah, yeah.
How is that possible?
It happens, trust me.
Could happen.
Could happen, it did happen.
Have you ever seen it?
Lots of mental illness out there.
Yeah, things happen.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
So the question is, does she get the ketubah?
Before consummation.
So the question is, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that when she gets married, she gets the entire ketubah, now the ketubah gets if he dies and divorces her, correct? So now the question is, so they got married, but they didn't consummate the marriage.
They're walking down the aisle,
and he throws a get. He had a get before, and he told the guy to write the get, and they had it already, and he got it, and he gave her a get.
You see something like that?
Okay, somebody's writing the get at the ketubah?
Have you seen something like that?
it's an academic question.
Yeah.
First of all, the guy could die. It's possible. It happens.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything can happen. So the Gemara's question is, what did Rabbi Elazar mean when he said once the girl gets married, that's when she gets everything? See, according to the Chachamim, even from the Kedushin, they get everything already. So it's not an issue.
Yeah.
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's the lochata. She only gets the folk suba from the time she gets married. Does he mean marriage or do you mean chuba?
Why don't ask the question what is the definition of the marriage? Is it chuba or is it bia? Why we don't ask that question?
No, because marriage is marriage.
Which one is it? Marriage is it chuba or bia?
Chuba.
So then it doesn't have to be consummation. It doesn't have to be his thing.
1 minute. Remember we learned, without going into it now, during she's Edison, if she's Mizana, she gets Skila.
What's Mizana?
If she commits adultery.
Oh.
Once she's married, she gets Chenek, which is the least of the punishments, right? So now, if a girl goes into the chuppah, even if she didn't consummate the marriage, she has the din of a married woman.
Ah, so then she should get all the money.
No, that's the question though. But the question, what did he mean? When the husband wrote the ksuba, and he wrote it with the intent that they should get married, did he mean the party, the ceremony, or did he mean actually being together? And that's what the Gemara is gonna leave it here because it's
cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yeah.